The Kraft Music Hall and a very special meeting. Bing Crosby, who is now in New York, will join us here in Hollywood for his first radio appearance since returning from the European Theater of War. And as a surprise guest, an old friend of Bing's. Also on hand, of course, are George Murphy, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Marilyn Maxwell, the music maid's man, Yuki, and to make this occasion kind of a just return from overseas edition, our special guests this evening, Spike Jones and his City Slickers. And now expressing a sentiment we're sure is mutual, here are George Murphy and Marilyn Maxwell.
Hear me holler, I choose a sweet Lollapalooza in thee.
I feel so rich, a hut for two.
2 rooms and a kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of, not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand. To dance, or art thou a square from Delaware, thou doll?
Me?
Indubitably.
No, if I'm as smooth as you, as you see at the ball. Hurry, hurry!
Yes, look, thou solid.
I'd be, thou cute.
Any cat at all is, call thee a beaut. Promise that we'll dig a really big affair.
Really knocked it for a copacetic loop. This evening, it's my pleasure and privilege to welcome back to the Old Kraft Music Hall a truly remarkable musical group. At any rate, they're responsible for a lot of true remarks. These boys have just completed a tour of liberated France under the trusty baton of their leader, the mighty Stokowski of the cowbell, that Kuzovitsky of the kazoo, that never-to-be-sufficiently-crowned king of corn, that John Scott Trotter alumnus, Spike Jones and his City Slicker. Welcome home, Spike.
Well, thank you, George, and it sure feels good to be here. And I'll bet the old groaner will be glad to get back to the hall, too.
Ah, it's sure nice to have him back.
Say, is it true, Spike, that while you were in London, you played at that swanky Marquess of Queensbury Club where they made the boxing rules?
Well, that's right, Ken.
How'd you come out?
Fighting.
That's the only way.
Spike, you remember Yuki.
Yeah, hiya, Spike.
Hiya, Spook.
Well spoke, Spike. Hi, Spook.
How did the French people take to your style of music, Spike?
Well, John, in some parts of France, our band was the first to play the Marseillaise in 4 years. Everywhere we played it, grown-ups seeing small children hear their national anthem for the first time, well, John, they actually cried.
Must have been very impressive.
You know, I've often wondered, John Scott, what you think of our music.
Well, there's some music that grips me by the heart and moves me.
Some moving. Does our music do that to you?
No, yours grabs me by the neck and shakes me.
That's not a shake, that's a quake.
Did you get to Paris, Spike?
Well, no, Marilyn. We got to within, I guess it was about 50 miles of the city, but we had a special request to stay where we were.
From the troops in that area?
From the people in Paris.
I've always heard that the French were good judges of music.
Well, they are, George. In Marseille, for instance, the very best bands play up on the roof garden of the Hotel Marseille. The more mediocre bands, of course, play down in the town square.
Where did you play, Spike? For the underground?
Now, wait a minute, George. We were asked to play everywhere we went. Why, they even short-waved our broadcast to Germany, you know.
Oh, I see. Our answer to robot bombing.
Listen, George, plenty of people tell me they wish they could play the way we do. They say they just wish our style of music wasn't so difficult.
Now, that's very odd. People tell me that they wish it was impossible. There's one thing, I'd like to know, Spike. While you were in France, did you play right in the Fuhrer's face?
Couldn't, George. He was going in the opposite direction.
Guess he heard you were coming. But seriously, ladies and gentlemen, Spike and the boys can turn to a lovely romantic song now and then. And that's just about what they're going to do for us now with their really dreamy arrangement of Cocktails for Two, featuring Carl Grayson on the martini.
Philologist who heard me say the German tongue, George.
claim that it is now a dead language. Oh, now, it couldn't have been that bad. George, my German wouldn't get me a skillet of sauerbraten in a Bavarian rest skillet.
Say, Bing.
Kenneth, dear boy.
Yes, doctor. Well, Bing, the paper said that while you were singing up at the front, a lot of GIs walked out on you.
Kenny, every guy that left that concert of mine to face a little thing like a German counterattack is a coward.
Well, tell us about your trip, Bing. How did you cross the Atlantic?
Oh, I can't tell you, George. Security.
Oh, okay. Well, how did you come back?
Security.
I see. Well, where are you staying in New York?
Security.
You mean to say that the Army won't even let you tell what hotel you're stopping at in New York?
The hotel won't let me tell.
Hey, Bing, you're back, huh?
Yuki.
Yeah, hey, did you hear that they're going to let me sing a song here in the Kraft Music Hall?
Oh, I wish I'd known that before.
You mean you'd have come back sooner?
I'd have stayed away longer.
Bing, I hear the Parisian dress designers are all working again, and that the new fall models have the most wonderful trimming.
Ah, c'est des mont très chic.
You mean, what's on the dresses?
What's in them?
Greetings, Bing.
Bonjour, mon petit Jean, bonjour.
I sure am glad to hear your voice, Bing. The whole time you were away, I kept thinking of your traveling around behind that wide front.
That's funny, John. I kept thinking of you doing the same thing.
Say, Bing, I hate to change the subject, but I suppose you know Bob Hope was in London ahead of you.
Yeah, but every building the city. Oh.
I heard that blub. I heard it. Just happened to be passing by. You can't stand there in New York and slander me, you know.
Oh, my word, we're cooked. A long tom with an up sweep.
Hiya, Lard. I'm glad you're back. You know, it's been costing me a fortune using union caddies, you know. I want to tell you, I just saw the newsreel pictures of your return.
How do I look?
Like the first bundle Britain sent back.
Listen, I want to tell you something, Saggy. Are you listening, Saggy?
Yes, I'm here.
I want to tell you something about your future travels abroad, Cornhorn.
Yeah.
I picked up a hot tip from the USO folks around New York that from now on, performers will be sent to the spots that their experience best suits them for.
Yeah, well, tell me, Hydrant Head, just what does that mean?
Your slate is for the Canary Islands, Bird Brain.
Oh, giving me the bird, huh? Well, look, what's your next stop, Boys Town? Tell me, Tell me, Senior, is it true that a good glass of beer in Paris sets a guy back about $10?
Oh, not dollars, my little cabbage. In case you haven't heard, over there is still the franc.
Oh, really? Well, listen, my big cabbage. In case you haven't heard, over here, there's still a Frankie.
You haven't lost your old delivery, have you?
That's it. Still in there punching those raisins, you know.
Well, Frankie opened at the New York Paramount yesterday, accompanied by a small riot, may I say.
Small riot? You couldn't attract a crowd like that if you opened a pack of cigarettes. Say, Farset, I guess you'd like to get back to France, huh?
Oh, mais oui, c'est demain.
You said who?
Hmm?
Get a load of that chubby Charles Boyer, huh? Say, Tommy, did you gather in much of that French food, sausage?
My dear Siphon Snout, I grabbed very few escargots at the Café de la Paix. But I may tell you, I did open many a can of cheddar with the GIs in the field. May I tell you, it's tough to get those cans open.
Well, I didn't have any trouble.
I didn't have your nose.
Naturally not. Whatever nature had for you, she put into your ears. Look, this is so refreshing working with you and not having to look at you. Tell me, Slouch Pacho, what shall
When shall I tell the household staff at the boys' reformatory of yours that you'll be home?
Oh, I've written my brother Everett a letter.
Yeah, I know. I was with him when he cashed it. We bounced out of the bank together.
Say, funnel flu.
Yeah.
I must tell you, I met a friend of yours in Glasgow.
You did, Pete? Who was he?
I was a Scotchman. This character walked slowly around me several times. Then he said, "That Robert Hope is a bit of a liar, eh?" And I asked him why. He said he told me you're a little bit of a short, fat fella.
Drink a minute, I suppose. Look, look, Slagbag, did you tell the boys at the front I'll be over next year?
I did, Bob, and it was fine for morale.
No kidding.
Yeah. They all said in that case we better finish it this year.
Well, look. Barney's wire, that's all I
want to know. Barney's wire wants to know about it. Say, Bing, do you really think there's a chance of finishing it this year?
Oh, who am I to make predictions, George? I don't know anything about it, but it certainly looks from here on into Germany it's going to be tougher and tougher. The men lying and fighting in the mud, they read and they hear about people thinking the war's practically over. It makes them pretty bitter. Take a GI pinned down by crossfire. He thinks plenty of ammunition is still more important than post-war planning. Really, their constant concern over there is that overconfidence is going to eventually result in diminishing support here at home.
Say, how did you travel, Bing, or is it really still security?
Oh, no, Carp. We went and we came back by boat. We hopped around from England to France and back by plane.
Who is we, Bing?
Well, our little unit consisted of Joe DeRita, Jeannie Durrell, a little girl used to sing with the music maid here, Darlene Garner and an accordion guitar combo named Baxter and Harris.
Sounds like a solid little group.
Oh, they
were wonderful. How did the English and French divisions treat you?
Oh, mighty fine, Murph. The English kids have a punchline they use on all Americans. They say, "You got any gum, Chuck?" The French kids say, "You got a cigarette for Papa? Or some chocolate for Mama?" I concentrated on those French youngsters, George, and I now have my own French Bobby Sock Brigade.
Say, Bing, do they know about the voice over there?
Not too loud, George. Not too loud. Well, at one show, I must tell you, a show we did for the GIs on the outskirts of a French town, a lot of French civilians came around the outskirts of the show just to see what was going on. During the show, I called out to a couple of the mamzelles. I said, "Connez-vous Francois Sinatra?" Well, they shrugged and he said, "No, no, no." Boy, I beat him to those two anyhow.
Don't be too sure, Flab. They only shrugged because they couldn't understand that French of yours.
Just where were you most of the time in France, Bing?
Well, 3 of our 4 weeks in France were with General Patton's Third Army. We did 3 or 4 shows a day in the field or at the back hospitals. The show generally lasted about an hour and a half each. Generally, I laid about 8 or 10 songs on them per show.
Pause for an hour.
That's what kept driving Patton's boys farther and further toward Germany. But we kept following them. We stayed right on them.
Were you under fire at any time?
Oh, a little artillery fire, George. May I tell you that Sweet Leilani is no good with a rolling base.
That boy now wants artillery with his notes.
How close were the Germans to where you were playing when the soldiers had to walk out on your singing, Bing?
Too close.
I suppose you played plenty of hospitals in France.
That's how we finished every day, George. Lots of times I'd meet boys in the hospitals that I'd sung for in the field the day before.
Saw your show, huh?
Yeah.
Bing, let me ask. What did they...
Got it in, Flap.
He's mugging him too, Flap. You mugging it up?
Let me ask, what did they say when you saw them in the hospital?
Oh, they just smiled and they said, "I bet you didn't expect to find me here." Those fellas always got a smile. It's a wonderful army, George. We should be very proud of them.
What do our boys talk about most, Bing?
Home. They really live for mail from home and anything else that's American. They love to see familiar American faces and golfers or boxers or ball players, musicians, entertainers. Even wholesale for hope, I think. Our Red Cross gals are doing a fine job, right up the very front they are, and the fellas love them. Just seeing an American girl gives them a tremendous boost. Big drive.
Well, when are you coming back to Hollywood, Dane?
Well, as soon as I finish a little shopping.
Not new clothes.
No, grab me. Swing it around the field so it keeps you swinging the groove.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll send him to Bob Hope.
Yeah, do that. I asked General Eisenhower what he would like to have me send him, and he said the thing he'd like more than anything else is a package of Whole Harmony Grits.
Uh-huh, that old Southern taste. What does General Patton want?
Oh, he wants the same thing they all want.
What songs did the boys ask to hear, Ben?
Anything that reminds them of the USA.
Why carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? Mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears. His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you might grow up to be a mule. Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face, shoes out, elbow disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat, lazy, and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, might grow up to be a pig. Or would you like to swing on a star? Would you like to carry moonbeams in a great big jar? Or be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a fish? Fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. Can't write his name or read a book. Fool the people is his only thought. Though he's slippery, still gets caught. But then, if that sort of life is what you wish, you might grow up to be a fish. Slippery fish, and all the monkeys out in the zoo. Every day you meet quite a few, that's what you do. So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You can be swinging on a star.
Do an encore for us, aren't you? You're not going to leave it with that, Bing.
With only a couple of days left to get Christmas presents off to the men overseas, it might accelerate things a little to hear that the song that is most asked for from me over there was White Christmas. Billy got so that I hesitated about doing it because invariably it caused such a welling, nostalgic yearning among the men that made them sad. Heaven knows I didn't come that far to make them sad. For this reason, several times I tried to flash it and cut it out of the show, but these guys just hollered for it. So why don't you get on that Christmas mailing, friend? Those men who are living just from day to day on the hope of word from home. But you can't know, and yet you must know how.
They're dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one they used to know. The treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your day card on the right. May your day be merry and bright. And may all your
wonderful to have you back.
Well, Ken, it's really great to have the old Groner back again, isn't it?
Yes, Murph, it'll be even better to have Bing back here in Hollywood.
When do you think he'll hit town?
Well, I'm positive he'll be here in the Kraft Music Hall by November 2nd.
Well, what makes you so sure?
Racing season starts November 1st. Matt, where's an expert? The boy will have to be here to carry on the old Crosby tradition.
This is
old
Murph saying good night. I'll be seeing you next.
And this is as good a time as any for us to sit back and relax and enjoy a bit of reminiscing and remembering. And if you'll pardon me for saying so, I think it'd be sort of nice to say hello to our memories with this grand old tune that we used to sing whenever we wanted to say goodbye. Toodaloo.
Toodaloo, here's a kiss for you. Toodaloo, soon the same.
fine man, we'll call on you. Nighty night, sleep tight, toodaloo.